Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I am Mike Spofford, sitting alongside my colleague Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, continuing the discussion that we began on yesterday's show with regards to quarterback Aaron Rodgers, on Tuesday afternoon we got the official news. Aaron Rodgers is back on injured reserve. His season is over. The Packers deciding to protect their franchise quarterback here with no hope of a playoff spot. And long story short, I think it's the right move.
Yeah, I think it is too. I mean, you look at where the Packers are at right now, the playoffs are no longer in the picture. So from that perspective, I know Aaron Rodgers is a huge competitor. Mike McCarthy said so. You know, he was disappointed in the news. He wants to play. That's just the way he's wired. But at the end of the day, for the Packers now, you have to start looking to 2018.
Yep.
And the best interest of the Packers in 2018 is a healthy offseason for Aaron Rodgers. It gives Brett Hundley two more starts now to continue to work on his craft. And make no mistake about it, the Packers are still here to win some football games. They just don't want to put out, you know, and risk Aaron Rodgers having, you know, any kind of setbacks with the collarbone or anything else, really.
Yeah, and I know some of the fans are confused by this. It's like, well, if he was medically cleared to play against Carolina, I know the playoffs aren't in the picture, but why is he not playing? This is a home game. You know, 70,000 plus fans are going to be at Lambeau Field. They want to see Aaron Rodgers play. I think this just speaks to how difficult a decision it was to clear him in the first place to go to play against Carolina. And what I said in our Insider Inbox column, if Aaron Rodgers had not wanted to take the risk to play, because there was definitely risk in going back out in the field as soon as he did following the surgery, if Aaron Rodgers hadn't wanted to take that risk, there would have been no discussion last week at all. It just would have been, okay, you're not playing. I mean, he wanted to take the risk. He laid it on the line for the team. He gave it everything he had. And yes, if it were totally up to him, he would keep playing. But now that the playoffs are not in the picture, it's not totally up to him.
Right.
And as you said, the front office, the franchise, is looking ahead to next season.
Yeah, Michael. And the other thing, too, to consider throughout this whole situation is the trust factor, the communication between all these different parties with Dr. Pat McKenzie, with the Packers training staff. They've been down this road before, and they definitely are looking out for Aaron Rodgers' best interest in terms of just what is going to be setting him up the best in terms of just his life, you know, past football. So this conversation, I think, as you said, it was probably brought on by the fact that Rodgers did want to be back out there. The Packers did have a door that was still open to the playoffs if they won out.
Right.
Now that you look at that door closing for Rodgers, I mean, I think if I'm him, and that's not to say I am, but, I mean, it really does become about that offseason preparation again and trying to – we know how much time, how much energy, how many resources he puts into making sure that he's in top physical condition when the start of training camp comes around the following season. This allows him to stay on that schedule. And you tip your cap to him. As Mike McCarthy said, he laid it out there for us in that game against Carolina. But, it just doesn't really make sense for him to potentially put himself out there in a situation where nothing can be really gained.
Yeah, and as you said, the Packers now turn it back over to Brett Hundley. He will start the last two games. And here's a young quarterback who now is coming off of back-to-back overtime victories before he took a temporary seat in Carolina. A quarterback who has made some clutch drives late in games. And I know the Minnesota Vikings defense, which we'll talk about a little later in the show, is a whole different animal compared to the Cleveland Browns, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We get that. But you'd like to see now, with the clutch drives Brett Hundley made late in the games, we talked a lot about how he started a lot of games in a very positive fashion. What you'd really like to see from Brett Hundley in these final two games is a consistent, reliable level of play, something that can hopefully sustain itself for all four quarters. But against one of the best defenses in the league in the Minnesota Vikings, that will be easier said than done.
It will be, Mike. And the other thing, too, to consider, I mean, it's going to be cold weather at Lambeau Field. Mike McCarthy said, you know, a lot of these guys on this team, Brett Hundley included, have not played in suboptimal conditions when you look at the 5, 10, 15-degree mark. They've had some colder games, but nothing quite that frigid. So this is going to be an eye-opening experience for him. And I think to get this experience now, I mean, you wrote about it going all the way back to training camp in the offseason program. He really does covet these opportunities. And I think one thing we all learned about Brett Hundley throughout this last 2 months is the fact that he is a clutch football player. And you know, I asked Mike McCarthy about that during his news conference on Tuesday. If you can see that, if it's something you just have to learn. And he said, you go back and look at the film at UCLA, he was that type of player, but you can't simulate that in preseason.
No.
I mean, you can do two-minute drives, but it just isn't the same.
Right.
Brett Hundley, with what he did, especially the Tampa Bay game, where it just wasn't quite going his way for most of the day, and then how he played consistently throughout the game against Cleveland, that's what you look to build on where you're a young quarterback, and now an opportunity against a really tough defense we'll be talking about in a second. Just it is going to be a supreme challenge for him, but I think it's one he'll be ready for.
Yeah, well, the opponent is the Minnesota Vikings, and we've got a lot to discuss about the team that has already clinched the NFC North title. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. And Wes, to begin our weekly discussion, in-depth discussion about the opponent, let's start with the Vikings offense. And I think you have to start with quarterback Case Keenum. I know a few weeks ago there was some talk of whether he might even be in the MVP conversation for the NFL. I think that talk has died down a little bit. But that being said, You know how in basketball you hear the phrase glue guys on the basketball court?
Ron Harper.
Yeah. See, Case Keenum, and I don't mean that, this is not saying he's a game manager or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. When I look at this Vikings offense, Case Keenum's like the glue guy. He's kind of the guy who holds it all together. He's not a spectacular player, but he's better than a lot of people think that he is. He plays better than he looks, so to speak, because he doesn't look like a prototypical NFL quarterback. You can't argue with the results this year, and this is the guy who's made it go.
Yeah, we're talking about a guy that's 6 feet tall, and one of the reasons he did go undrafted out of Houston, despite being such a he was so productive as a passer there, was because of the height concerns and whether or not he was going to be able to stand up to the NFL game. It took him some time. I mean, you got to remember, he was an undrafted free agent in 2015. These things don't happen overnight. But I think you saw this year, when he's in the right system, he has an offensive coordinator that's playing to his strengths, exactly what he can bring. Yesterday, Mike, we were talking about, in our final segment, the NFC race and how everything's wide open.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of injuries that have hit a lot of different teams. Minnesota Vikings are not excluded from that. They lost two of their top players with Sam Bradford, who had a solid season a year ago, despite some of the issues that they had in an 8-8 season. And then you also go and lose your first-round draft pick in Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm.
You look at how they've had guys step up, whether it is Case Keenum, whether it is a guy like Latavius Murray, who was barely playing at all at the time of Cook's injury.
Right.
I mean, Jerick McKinnon being a playmaker. Adam Thielen is becoming one of the top guys in this league right now that you have to take into account. They just rolled with the punches really well, and for their reward, they're in this position that they're in right now, going into Week 16, already having clinched the NFC North.
Yeah, well, in the absence of Dalvin Cook, who was looking like he might be headed for Offensive Rookie of the Year honors, an Eddie Lacy 2013 type of season is what he was headed for before the season-ending knee injury. In his absence, the Vikings have established a pretty effective 1-2 punch with Latavius Murray as your power back and Jerick McKinnon as your receiver out of the backfield, your change of pace guy. And you look at the passing game. Kyle Rudolph is Kyle Rudolph. He's as good as there is. Thielen, you mentioned, he's headed to the Pro Bowl. And, you know, when you look at the statistics, the thing that jumped out at me, not so much that Thielen has more catches and more yards than Stephon Diggs, who is also a pretty dangerous receiver. Thielen has a better yards per catch than Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
And that's what jumped out at me, because you think of Diggs as like the big play guy. Well, Adam Thielen is actually the one who's turning into the big play guy in this offense.
Yeah, and you think of Thielen as sort of you hate using these phrases, but a possession receiver. I mean, it's almost like the game manager type label that you throw on receivers, you know, guys that can just catch the ball, get a couple yards and go down, keep moving the chains. Thielen's has evolved his game this year. And you look at it, Mike, he actually has the longest reception of any Vikings receiver this season at 65 yards. They put in a first round draft pick in a Laquon Treadwell a year ago, and his development's been kind of slow. But Thielen has been a guy that just shot out of nowhere, coming from one of their state schools.
Yeah.
And now here,
Mankato, right?
Yeah, Mankato.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, has become a big playmaker. But as you also said, the thing that makes him so dynamic offensively is the fact that Kyle Rudolph is as consistent as they come at the tight end position. He's almost kind of, in a way, sort of reminds me of a Jason Witten type player. He doesn't have the catches. He doesn't have the accolades of Witten, but he consistently plays with an edge, and he's been incredibly durable for them at that position. And Stephon Diggs is a really nice, young, budding receiver. He isn't a guy that's just going to have 1,500 yards every season, but just really consistent in what he does. And those three guys together and their availability this season has been what I think has allowed Case Keenum to develop that rhythm, develop that chemistry, and keep this offense moving along. The fact that they are 10th right now in total offense, despite losing their quarterback and their running back, I mean, that says a lot about their program.
Yeah, it does. And I think the other thing the Vikings have done this year offensively that they were not able to do last year is they've weathered the storm with some of the injuries on the offensive line. Now, the injuries they had on the offensive line last year were massive.
Yeah.
It was like an avalanche that they couldn't stop. But this year, when they've had Riley Reiff had to miss some games, when Pat Elflein, I think the center, he hasn't played every game, when they've had some guys coming in and out of the lineup on that offensive line, I believe Remmers, the other tackle,
right,
he's missed some
Mike
time.
Yep.
He's missed some time as well. But they haven't missed a beat when they've had to fill in. And last year, when the injuries hit the offensive line and they were going to the backups, the offense completely fell apart.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford became basically a sideways check down quarterback. Everything was short passes, trying to get yards after the catch. Defenses moved up and completely shut that offense down, and the defense simply couldn't win enough games for him. This year, they've handled those injuries on the offensive line much better, and I think that's a big reason they won the NFC North.
Yeah, and Joe Witt Jr. always likes to talk about, you know, if you have a quarterback and you have cornerbacks, you have a chance to compete for a Super Bowl title. The thing, I add a third amendment to that. I think you need to have tackles in this league. You have to be able to protect that quarterback.
Yep.
Last year, that's just something they were not able to do enough, and the fact that Sam Bradford wasn't the most mobile quarterback in the league either.
Correct.
So now the bringing in Reiff, I think that's probably been one of the top signings in the NFL this season. They had an obvious need at left tackle. You know, Khalil was a first-round draft pick of theirs, fourth overall, had a lot of talent, and now is, you know, with his brother in Carolina. But Reiff has just been the right fit for them at that spot. And again, he's been there for them in a season which they really needed stability at that position.
Yeah, well, where the Minnesota Vikings make even more headlines is on defense, and we're going to get to that after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkowitz all the way over there. Wes, the Vikings defense. We've talked about it a lot over the last couple of years. And this is a unit now sending three guys to the Pro Bowl. You got Everson Griffin up front with 13 sacks on the season, I believe it is. You have Xavier Rhodes, a shutdown cornerback, and you have Anthony Barr at linebacker going to the Pro Bowl, something that does not sit well with Packers fans.
Who's Anthony Barr?
Clearly. Oh, you don't remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But here's my question, and I get it. Not everybody can go to the Pro Bowl, and I don't want to get into a whole discussion about the Pro Bowl, but I don't know how Harrison Smith is not in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
That guy, I mean, and I'm biased in the sense that when we were in Minneapolis, he was by far, in my opinion, the best player on the entire field.
Yeah.
And I know he only
has
three interceptions. And that probably factors into it. But I think he's the best player on that defense. If I were to pick one guy I would want to build my defense around off of that Vikings defense, I would pick Harrison Smith. And maybe that's why I'm not a GM, whatever. But that's who I would pick. I've always been impressed with this guy.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things too, he didn't have any interceptions last year. So, like, I mean, and he obviously has that name recognition. I don't know. Sometimes these things happen. You don't quite understand them. What I will say, though, Michael, I brought up the depth chart here, the Minnesota Vikings. Daniel Hunter, Linville Joseph, Tom Johnson, Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, Trey Waynes, Andrew Sendejo, Everson Griffin, Xavier Rhodes. They're so deep.
Yeah.
And they're all healthy.
Yeah.
And I think when you have that amount of playmakers in your system, and then you keep them on the field for an entire season, this is what happens. You have the whatever it is, the second or third ranked run defense, one of the top five units in the league. They've been consistent. That is such a a task in the NFL is having playmakers and being able to keep them on the field. Their defense almost kind of reminds you in some ways of those Chicago Bear defenses from like the 2000s, some of the really great units where even if you don't follow the NFC North, you don't follow the Minnesota Vikings, you know the players on their defense, you know the positions they play, and you know how deep they go across the board. The secondary, the way they've developed there, and then also with what they can do in their front seven with their pass rush, how active, how physical, how quick their linebackers are. It's a very tough unit, and it's the reason why even when the offense hasn't always been there for the Vikings, they've been in every game.
Yeah, and I guess the reason I always get stuck on Harrison Smith, not only did he make just an incredibly athletic interception against the Packers after Brett Hundley stepped in for Aaron Rodgers in that game, but what I've seen over the last couple years is the games when Harrison Smith has been injured and not playing is when that Vikings defense struggles. I just think he's the kind of guy that that steers that whole ship. And but also you look at this Vikings defense now. I'll be curious to see how things go here. We know this team is going to be in the playoffs. They're going to get at least one home game at US Bank Stadium as the division champ. They're fighting for a first-round bye in the playoffs here. This game against the Packers is very big for them in that respect. But you look recently now at this Vikings defense. They went down into Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta and held the Falcons to, I believe it was, 9 points. In a win there. Yeah. But then they go to Carolina and they give up 31. That's the same number of points the Packers gave up to the Carolina Panthers. That was uncharacteristic of their defense. Then they come back and, you know, pasted a Cincinnati Bengals team that appears to have given up on the season.
But
my point is, I'm really curious here down the stretch now how this Vikings defense is going to play, because they will need that defense, in my opinion, to come up big in the playoffs, because they have a quarterback who hasn't won playoff games in the past. The playoff situation is going to be new for their quarterback, and that's where they're going to need their defense.
And this is where I think they've kind of had a wake-up call a little bit about what they're going to see once the postseason comes, especially that Carolina game. I mean, let's be honest. The Bengals are not going to the postseason. Bengals have a lot of issues right now.
Yeah.
Carolina Panthers really don't, and you see how deep they are too, how dynamic and versatile that they are on an offense. You know, the best way to attack a really deep and talented defense is to have multiple playmakers and guys that can do multiple things at their specific position. They also had a very close game with the Atlanta Falcons as well, albeit both of those games are on the road. Now you're going to have the Packers, and then you're going to be hosting the Bears. It's going to be very interesting to see how Mike Zimmer tapers this team, what exactly their approach is. As you said, they're competing for a number one bye here, but there also is that mental approach that, okay, well, now you are the favorite in these games, and then once you get past these, well, now you're facing a, you know, do-or-die situation. They've been in that spot before, and we saw what happened 2 years ago. We'll be very interested to see how this team progresses now in showing that they aren't just a regular season contender, but a team that can put it together in the postseason.
Yeah, and they're a team that is they're aiming to get the number one overall seed in the NFC, because they would love nothing more than to have the entire postseason, including the Super Bowl, in their home stadium, which would be an unprecedented thing in NFL history. But before we go to a break, Wes, today's a perfect day to fill up with some new Campbell's Chunky Mac Soup. Chunky Mac is loaded with more meat than you can handle, a lot more. We're talking 40% more than a comparable chunky soup. So go on, fill up with new Campbell's Chunky Mac Soup. Campbell's Chunky Soup, the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford sitting next to Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, quickly before we go, you spoke to some players in the locker room on Tuesday following the Monday night game, the Monday night victory by the Atlanta Falcons that officially closed the door on the Packers' playoff hopes. And it was interesting hearing what some of the players had to say, because they're kind of in unfamiliar territory here. They're not used to being in the middle of December and not having anything to play for postseason-wise. Right. Players like Randall Cobb and Nick Perry, you know, drafted in the early part of this decade, they haven't known anything but going to the playoffs. And it's a tough deal. Nobody's happy about it. They're still going to be pros, go out and play the game to win, just like they always do. But mentally, they're in a different place, and it's kind of hard to process.
I think a lot of people said it, that first locker room this week on Tuesday kind of had a very end of the season locker clean out feel to it.
Yeah, it did.
Just in terms of the way everybody was kind of trying to come to terms with what had happened. Not only the loss in Carolina, but then, you know, to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come as close as they did to give an Atlanta a run for their money and maybe extending this thing for another week. That didn't happen. And now the Packers are in the situation in which they are. That's probably the most fascinating thing about this, Mike. There are 53 guys currently, 52, excuse me, after the release of Joe Carriage. There's 52 guys on this roster at the time in which we're taping this. 30 of those guys have been here and not known what it's like not to play in a postseason game. Think about that.
Yeah.
When you look at other organizations around the league, how rare that is. And Devon House, I thought, had one of the most interesting takes on this. He was here for the first 4 years. He goes to Jacksonville for 2 years, does not have a lot of success there from a team perspective. And then he came back, as he said, because people were asking him, you know, are you going to try to play again this year with the back injury? He's like, a year ago at this time, I was dreaming of playing for the Green Bay Packers. He's like, I'm going to be back if I can get back.
Yeah.
So there is that motivation, and I think it's that understanding. So a lot of these veterans, you know, a Lance Kendricks, a guy that's never been to the playoffs, they know what it's like to go through this, these emotions, but a lot of guys in that locker room, as you mentioned, Randall Cobb included, still trying to fully come to terms with everything.
Yeah. How much do you think, because I know every season is its own animal, but some of these veteran guys, the ones in particular that we know have a good chance of being back next year, how much do you think this one, them missing the playoffs for the first time in their careers, will serve as some kind of a motivation through the offseason into next year? Do you think it plays into it?
Huge amount. I really do. I think this is going to be something that really is going to propel a lot of guys in the offseason, because there's a lot to think about, and they have 6-7 months to think about it. When they get back in April for the offseason program, it's going to be something in the back of their mind. I expect it to really affect a lot of guys.
Yeah, I do too. But with that, we're going to call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.